Yeah, got a exciting thing coming in the next month or so, which I'm quite looking forward to. But I can't say what it is.
You are replacing Oscar Piastri, done.
Yeah, that is.
Hello and welcome to the F1 Feeder Series podcast, your guide to keeping up to date on everything in the junior single-seater world. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and while F2 and F3 are almost at the end of their summer breaks, there's a much longer break for the return to racing for our two guests today. Fortunately, they can spend their time joining amazing podcasts to talk about their season, answer questions from fans, and likely avoid the awkward conversation topic about whether Oscar Piastri will be racing with the F1 team they're affiliated with. There's some nervous smiles right there that I see.
Everyone wants to have no idea what's going on.
Well, they often come as a double act, and anybody who is not fortunate enough to be watching the podcast, they have actually joined together in the same room as well to show how much of a double act they are. First up, let me introduce a driver who's been racing in cars for 15 or so years, but has risen to prominence over the last few years, with her being one of only two people to have won in all three seasons of W Series, including the last round in Hungary. Welcome, Alice Powell. A win wasn't a bad way to start your summer break.
No, it wasn't actually. It was a lot better than, the past several races that I'd had in the championships. Not gone to plan this year at all. Obviously, first round in Miami, that was a big error on my part. And then it's sort of been a bit up and down. So to sort of come into the summer break, having a win, an off a win, and then moving on to Singapore, which is going to be a new track, obviously, for everyone. It was a good way to, as I said, to come into the summer break.
Yeah, really looking forward to digging into it a little bit more. And before we get there, I have to introduce the other AP, also highly regarded British AP, like her mentor, a W Series podium finisher, a pole position clincher, and in 2022 joined the Alpine affiliate program that's allowed her to drive a Formula One car already. And when I was looking into it, it's the first or second, depending how you define it. It's like the Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong thing about first woman to have raced a Formula One car in Saudi Arabia, which was very exciting. Hello to you, Abby Pulling. How are you?
No, hiya. All good. The F1 stuff is kind of crazy to think that, my single-seater career is only just starting, and I've already driven an F1 car, and like I said, being the first female to drive one in Saudi Arabia, it was something quite special. And I can't thank Alpine enough for, giving me that opportunity.
What a difference a year makes, eh? And one of the people that knows that is Jeroen Demmendaal, who's joining us, who spoke to you about 18 months ago before the season started. So we're going to hear about how he's seen you guys change. But the last time you joined the podcast, Jeroen, was back in February. I was just looking. So plenty to update us on. You are the F1 Feeder Series Americas. So how have you been over the last 6 months? Have you enjoyed all the racing? We've barely touched it on the podcast.
Yeah, well, very busy, of course. I mean, as you know, in Feeder Series racing, I mean, it never ends, right? I mean, every weekend there's somewhere on the planet somebody's racing. And in America, there's been a lot of stuff going on as well. I think we're going to dig into that a little bit deeper a little later. But mostly just very happy to be here again. February, it's been way too long.
It's been far too long. So really glad to have you back. As ever, a quick reminder to like, comment and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And you can also find our previous episodes and some great short videos on our channel. And if you are listening to the audio only version, please leave a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. You can leave a rating on Spotify and review us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review, we'll read it out on the podcast next time. And if you don't want to leave us a review, dropping a rating is just as appreciated. Thank you to everybody who rates us. It really does help us out. I want to talk about the racing, but we're talking in August. So let's have a quick catch up with Abby and Alice first about how you're spending this long shutdown, because it's really extended for W Series. Alice, you were famously, I would say, but I don't know if everybody knows the story, but finishing up unblocking a urinal back when you found out you had the W Series racing a few years ago. Have you had any such plumbing fun this summer, or is it more racing oriented?
No, thankfully, I've not had any plumbing, had to dive into any urinals or anything like that, or block any drains. I have been doing bits and bobs at work. Abby's actually come along with me. I had to shift a load of trees and sort of woodlands. So I dragged Abby, trained in the morning, and I dragged her over, did some extra, I say it's extra bit of training. To move it all. She wasn't too best pleased, I don't think.
It's a lot of physical activity, yeah.
So, you know, so I just said, you've got to be getting stronger lifting a load of training. So yeah, on that, I've kept up with training. It's nice to obviously have a little bit of a break, but yeah, it's our W Series break is quite long, but I'll actually be back an F1 track. I'll be in Zandvoort doing TV stuff for Channel 4, and then I'll be commentating actually on the final races of Formula 3 at Monza and the F2 as well for the World Feed. So I'll be back in F1 at Biggin Hill. So yeah, that's going to then fill up until then we go to Singapore.
Yeah, so a while away for that, but it sounds like you're keeping yourself really, really busy. And just on my side, I think you're really good in the comms box as well. I presume you prefer to be racing, but if you're not racing, doing the commentary seems to be pretty damn good, and Mr. Brundle's not made a bad career out of that. It's your expertise when you explain some stuff is so good. So good to have you in the comms box, and sounds exciting so far. And but how about you, Abby? Apart from some, well, you've got a bit older now, so there's no questionable child labour laws I have to get into, thankfully. But it's your first year having access to the Alpine facilities and everything else. It's your first summer since you moved out from your parents. We spoke about that before the season started, so. How different has this summer been compared to all your others?
To be honest, my whole summer so far has just been spent training. Every morning I'll go to Alpine and I'll go to the gym because, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. I'm having like a brief holiday now, but it's not necessarily, you know, I don't mind skipping some holidays to be able to have the games and then hopefully a few more holidays in the future. But yeah, it's just been quite productive, really, on that side of things. And, you know, other than fighting with a few trees, it's been quite fun. The weather's been really nice. There's been, you know, a little bit of sunbathing as well at times, which has been nice. Yeah, it's been fairly laid back. It's just been a routine of just the same thing every day, basically. I am going to Zandvoort as well. So I'll be going there with Alpine, doing some fun things with them, and got a exciting thing coming in the next month or so, which I'm quite looking forward to. But I can't say what it is.
You're teasing us now. Huh? I mean, this is not okay.
You guys,
we need the exclusive, guys. Come on, we're old friends here. Just forget the embargoes. Tell us what's going on. You are replacing Oscar Piastri. Done.
Yeah, that is exactly what I was going to say.
Can you imagine if that's where it actually was? Unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah, magically, like, it's not possible because I don't want to super license points. But no, it's quite about, yeah, it's quite a funny time for me to say something's coming.
That's how you get into, you saw what happened with Alex Albon and everybody else jumping on. You need to do this. I've got some news. You'll get some real.
I can see the headlines now.
I think it would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, let's talk about the season so far. And first off, and unfortunately, you need to get the Jamie Chadwick-sized elephant in the room out of the way so we can focus on you guys. She's leading the championship. She's won 5 in a row. She's pretty much wrapped up the title. I'm sorry to say it. I know maths says otherwise, but let's be honest. But you touched on it briefly at the start, Alice. You had that poor start and you found the barriers back in Miami Race 1, and you've been kind of playing catch-up since then, but now you're second in the standings, joint on points with Baitska, but you've got the win. So how do you feel your season's gone? And if you excluded that first race, do you think you'd feel better about it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, excluding the first race, and we had a good qualifying at the first race weekend. Then obviously there was the mistake by myself sort of going into the wall. Second race weekend or second race was much better. We ended up actually getting P2 in the end. And then it's just sort of not just string together, really. Silverstone was really disappointing. You know, it was a car problem. I couldn't get it, wouldn't engage gear on the grid. So then obviously I fought hard. Jamie did an extremely fast lap to the grids, which our engineers sort of told her to do. And then, yeah, wasn't able to get back in position. Poor Ricard was quite tough. I was struggling with a lot of rear locking there. And I'd never been there before as well. I think it's probably one of the hardest circuits to sort of try and learn in 30 minutes, because that's all the practice sessions time that we get. So a little bit on the back foot, we made up for it a little bit in the race. And then obviously we did all right at the last one at Hungary. So it's really been sort of up and down. Barcelona, I missed that one out. We were on the podium there. And it was sort of all looking not too bad, but yeah, we've just been a bit unfortunate. Obviously, a mistake by myself in the first race weekend. But yeah, as you said, Jamie's she's been on fire. She's won all the first sort of five races, so it's near enough impossible now to think she can probably wrap the title, if I'm correct, at Singapore. So yeah, it's been a big disappointing year so far, to be honest. Like you mentioned, I'm second in the championship, but obviously that's not where I want to be. I wanted to be at the top of the championship. So. Yeah, we're obviously fighting now to be second best, along with Abby, Beitzger, and everyone else.
Yeah, Abby, you've obviously excelled as well this time. Last year, it was like a part-time campaign you were doing. You turned heads with how quick you adapted. Six rounds into 2022, you've taken podiums. You were P2 in the standings, I believe, when I was looking at stuff before, and then some horrible person took that from you in Hungary, but you're only just behind like the three championship contending drivers that W Series have had in their time, which for you, I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's like a bit of a feather in the cap that you've immediately got in there with the headline acts.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really happy to be around, you know, I always say it, around the people that have been in the championship from day one. You know, they've got quite a bit more experience than me. As much as, you know, sorry to admit it, you got 2 years basically off in the car. So, but yeah, it's going really well. There's been a few kind of ups and downs. Start of the season, Miami. I struggled in qualifying, really. I think it was a bit from just unfamiliarization, kind of didn't get back into the swing of things as quickly as I wanted. It was, you know, my first street circuit. I was a bit, yeah, I put all the kind of blame on myself at Miami and kind of not getting what I wanted in qualifying by the race. I, you know, I'd set the quickest, technically, lap record holder around Miami, which it will hopefully stay because I'll change the track or just run. So, you know, the race pace came. It just, you know, it was a little too late at that point. And then, yeah, Barcelona, I felt really comfortable, really, really kind of at one with everything. I felt that I had the pace to get Jamie, but it's just a track that is so hard to overtake on because of the aero, especially in our cars. You've not got push to pass. It's, you know, even though you feel quicker than the car in front, it can sometimes be so hard to pass.
I don't want to say it, but that race wasn't quick to watch. That was quite the procession. Yeah,
it wasn't quick. It wasn't quick to drive.
So it's like, and I vouched for Abby, like it was so difficult to follow, and you know, I felt that I had the pace
on me, and then I felt like
and so on. So, you know, I think that's one thing that we sort of touched about with the championship, maybe sort of looking at getting pushed to pass. It would certainly spiced up, hopefully, Barcelona a little bit more.
Yeah, I certainly endorse that. Yeah, after that you had Silverstone and then...
So Silverstone was a good one for me. I think there was a bit of a miss potential. I think I had the pace in the race. Was set a really quick lap, but it's, you know, a little too late by the end. So it's just, yeah, learning to get that out of the tyre and out of myself in qualifying. And then, what was it? What was the next one?
Paul Ricard.
Paul Ricard.
That's it.
So, yeah, so then by the time I got to Paul Ricard, I had a few problems with the car, which wasn't, you know, ideal for myself. I had quite severe rear locking and pad knockback. So I basically like barely had a brake pedal. And it made it quite frustrating really for myself. And that carried forward a weekend into Budapest, which was again frustrating. I think I was P13 in practice and I was like, you know, what's going on? This is, I know that, you know, there's a problem, but we finally kind of found it and it was a binding brake caliper at the front. I'm pretty sure that was what was going on. But yeah, as soon as we changed the brakes, it was the brake calipers, I qualified P5 or P6 or something, so around a track that I didn't know. So it was, yeah, it was a frustrating kind of one to buy it because matey boy here overtook me in the championship. But I'm confident that I've got the pace, you know. I've been wanting more out of this year, but you know, I can't kind of complain with where I'm at the moment. So
yeah, you've got to sometimes think of where you were, what, 12, 18 months ago, where Jeroen last spoke to you. And if you were told, oh, you'll have a couple of podiums and be challenging for P2 in the championship, you'd be biting someone's hand out for that. And speaking of which, Jeroen, you spoke to them in March, I believe it was, at least the interview was published in March, back before the 2021 season. Alice was inches from the title since then with last year's championship fight. And Abby wasn't even part of W Series. You're talking about possibly joining Frecker and the financial burdens of that. So how do you view these two, all these, I'll say years, but these 18 months since?
All these years. they're not that old, Jim. Now I think I actually said this once to Alice. I still hope that she'll ever make it the step to America. I think with her hard charging driving style, yes, I know, you know, there are budget considerations and all those things. But in my ideal world, at some point, Alice gets a chance to move over to Indy Lights and IndyCar and just set America alight. I think she would really be great there. As for Abby, she is, for me, one of the, if not the biggest promise in W Series right now. I've been following her since British F4. Impressed me from early on, and now of course, you know, you got the Alpine backing, and I just hope sort of that soon they can help you to take the next step and go to, say, Freca or F3 and really get all that track time that I think you really need for your development, because I mean, I think personally that's still the thing that's a bit lacking in W Series. I think you guys really need a lot more track time, and you know, if you could make that step, that would be great.
Yeah, I echo those thoughts. The track time makes the racing more difficult as well, because you guys are so unfamiliar with the track. And I think the rookies have really been thrown into the deep end this year. It's half an hour, get used to it, now we're going. I know you guys have got the fortunate stuff this year, like having access to sims and stuff, but you guys know what it's like when you don't. It's a real difficult thing. But we've got so many questions, I could talk on and on like I tend to do. So let me end this quick section at the moment with a quick question for both of you to answer. They've got Singapore, USA, the doubleheader in Mexico still to go. What would you say the minimum is for each other for those four rounds? So Alice first, what would you target for Abby to be doing in those final four rounds?
Right, my type of view is crashing. Please crash. Like, I'm in Miami, to all the walls. I think, I mean, being realistic, crashing, no, I'm joking. Austin is a good one for Abby. Obviously, she qualified on pole last year there. I think Singapore, it could be a track where anything could happen. So I think
the walls are quite close there.
Yes.
Yeah. Be careful.
Well, I'm trying. You know, you're good at overtaking and sort of getting stuck in. So with the long straights there and so many different types of corners, I think anything could happen there. Mexico, again, none of us know the circuit, none of us have been there. So if you qualify well, I'll just make sure that I try and keep you behind me.
Abby, are you saying it's just stick out of the walls in Singapore? That's target number one.
I think that will be, yeah, the thing you have to focus on the most going into that weekend. Go out the walls. Everyone. After Miami.
I'll put you in the walls.
No. That's not part of the agreement.
I'm thinking back to the Vettel and Raikkonen year that broke all the Ferrari hearts. You two end up colliding at the first corner after a promising start.
I'm surprised it's not happened yet.
If you used to end up behind me, then.
I'll leave it there. I'm going to say out of the walls, unless you've got a nice answer. But I think I think that says a lot about your relationship.
Bullying.
I think you just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, you won the last race, so.
One more win each. I think you guys, or two wins each. That'll make it even better, won't it? Let's tie it up.
There's four races left. One or two each. Yeah.
There we go. Two. He did say that. Two each. Yeah.
There we go. Problem solved. Well, let's talk about the US stuff at the moment you're in, because you're on, and I have to bring it up because it's been a while since the last time we spoke, and that also means it's a while since the podcast has caught up on the road to Indy as well, which means I'm betting there's one or two stories that have happened in the meantime that we probably should know about. Let's start with some recent news. I hear there was racing at Gateway on the weekend that might mean there's some championship fights coming to a close.
Yeah, well, Gateway, I know you love ovals, Jim. Well, this is one. It's on the edge of Illinois and Missouri. And both Indy Lights and Indy Pro 2000, they were there this weekend. Now, Lights, what we talked about in our preview, what we all expected would happen has happened. Linus Lundqvist from Sweden has dominated and basically secured the title. I've taken out my calculator, I've done the math, and basically all he needs to do is show up at Portland in 2 weeks. Yeah, and that's basically a very big break for our Swedish friend as he looks to move to IndyCar in 2023. And then in Indy Pro 2000, there's a lot of good news for Britain because Louis Foster, still only 18 years old, runner-up in Euro Formula Open last year. He's the de facto champion. Same as with Linus, he just has to show up in Portland and then he will clinch the championship, which for him is very important because it will give him that all-important scholarship to move up to Indy Lights next year.
That scholarship stuff is something that was the big takeaway from me on how that would really help in other feeder series on this side of the Atlantic, or I'm in Mexico, people know that, so your side of the Atlantic, let's call it that way, but you know what I mean. And how about USF 2000 as well, because I've been reliably told that you're saying there that Portland season finale coming up, but I think the championship's not as set in stone about what's going to happen there. Can you update us on that and some of the USF juniors as well, because Rob Howden was very excited about that in that preview episode.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I mean, while Lights and Indy Pro are basically done when we get to Portland, the real action to keep an eye on there is in USF 2000. We got three drivers who are all within 23 points, and we have a triple header there, so three races. So basically, it's impossible to say who will win it. Miles Rowe, the young American driver backing from Penske, he's been driving very strongly all year, currently leads the title race. But he's very closely chased by USF 2000 veteran Michael DiOrlando, also from America, and Rowe's teammate Jace Denmark. So that will be very exciting. I mean, that's definitely what I will be focusing on when we get to Portland. As for juniors, which is basically the Road to Indy's answer to American USF 4, that too has been a very close competition all year. It looked for a while like a young Canadian called Mac Clark was running away with that early on. But some young Americans have caught up, and there's a season finale in the middle of September at COTA. So that will be a real Texas barn burner, I expect.
A Texas barn burner. I love that. Alice and Abby, you just had a little like knowing nod with Louis Foster we're mentioning there. Have you guys had experience racing, and how would you rate him?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Louis probably for about 3-4 years. He did British F4. So he tested with the team that I was doing some coaching for. I rate him as a driver. I think he's, you know, struggling for finances to move up the feeder series ladder over here in Europe, and made the jump and thought, you know what, I'm going to go over to the States. And I think that's a good move by him. He's made the move early. As you mentioned, he's still only 18 years old, a talented driver. And yeah, he's showing that at the moment on stateside, and deservedly so. He's worked hard, and, you know, hopefully he will show up and everything will go to plan for him at the next race, and he can make the step up into Indy Lights.
It's not so clear cut these days with a certain pandemic we had. If somebody shows up, that could just change everything, right? That's nuts.
Yeah, baggage could go missing. Or
Abby, as well, like we're talking there, just with going to the US, and we've seen drivers do that. I know you're obviously focusing on F1 at the moment, but I seem to feel like there's this shift in a mentality kind of recently, the drivers wanting to consider that as an option. Would the jump going stateside be something you'd consider if it didn't pan out for you because of the lower financial costs, which have been so impactful in your career?
Yeah, of course. You know, if that, you know, I could no longer kind of forward my career in the European, you know, going to FIF3, going stateside is something, you know, that I wouldn't ignore. And you know, if the opportunity arose and it seemed like my, you know, the best option at the time, I definitely wouldn't, you know, hesitate to go over there. So it's, yeah, I think it's a great championship, Indy Lights and the other junior categories over there. And like say Louis Foster, he's, you know, he's winning this championship, and if he does win, he will get the scholarship to go into Indy Lights, which is, you know, you can't put a price on that. That's, you know, it's amazing. So
yeah, I think Foster also has been a bit of like, I think a lot of drivers in Britain are looking at him now and thinking like, this might be an option. Because I mean, we also saw this weekend at Gateway, Marcus Flack, who's been driving in GB3 this year. He has now made the jump for the last few races. He will be in Portland as well. I know that there's a few other GB3 drivers. I won't reveal them here, but I know there's been others there to look at the Road to Indy recently. So it might very well be that Louis Foster, just like we've seen a number of F2 drivers moving to IndyCar, I think he might very well be like the first of many.
What is going on here? Yeah. We've got Jeroen and we've got Abby both saying, oh, I've got something to say, but I can't say it. It's like cockpit teasing that's going on here. You guys need to stop it. That's enough questions from me, because the F1 Feeder Series podcast is for you viewers and listeners. We're going to move on to the hashtag AskF1FS part of the podcast. And with the amount of questions that we don't get through, we're actually going to focus more on these in the future to get through even more questions than we usually do. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can get involved by using the hashtag AskF1FS on Twitter, joining our Discord and using the podcast questions channel, or simply commenting on our YouTube videos and asking whatever it is that's on your mind. The first question we've got is for both of you, and it's from Formula Wah via Discord. And you mentioned it earlier, so maybe you've already answered it, but they've asked, if you could make one change to W Series to improve it, what would you change and why? I'm going to go with you first, Alice, because you've been doing it a little while longer, so you've probably got thoughts on this already.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to steal your answer now.
Yeah, but I've got two. So
I think the push to pass would be one. I mean, it'd be quite cool to have DRS, wouldn't it? You know? The button or something, or back paddle open your DRS. But yeah, the push to pass that they have in the former regional by Alpine Championship. So would think sort of like races like Barcelona, it would have spiced them up a little bit more. It's available sort of on those cars, because as I mentioned, someone running the same chassis or championship running the same chassis has them. So that's probably the one thing I would say addition to the championship.
And I would say more track time is kind of, I know it's limited by the Formula One schedule, but yeah, it would be nice to have a bit more track time to have a bit more time to learn, really. So I'm better prepared, and, you know, all the other rookies are better prepared for when they move up the ladder.
So the next question is for both of you, and this is actually from an ERA, which is the Electric Feeder Series, a driver in that series called Alice Spiccia, and he asks via LinkedIn, how has the W Series economic model been an advantage or a disadvantage to its drivers, and how can other series adopt such models that encourage talent over wealth?
I think, yeah, if you look at the championship at the moment, people probably think, oh, well, it hasn't worked because Jamie's still doing W Series. She's not moved up. You know, I think I said in an interview, I think she should have moved up into sort of F3 or Euroformula or something like that after she won second title. That's what F3, you know, that's the rule in that championship. So I felt like, yeah, she probably could have moved out, and that's probably not why people are looking at going, well, she's still here, so surely it's not working. But then if you look at other people doing other things, like myself, got me back out racing, sort of helped with getting my role in Formula E, for sure. Other drivers out there, Nerea Marti, she's doing some racing on the side. You had Baitska that was doing the Rich Bealay stuff. You know, it's sort of got us all back on the map because we sort of were slowly, you could say potentially sort of disappearing. I think one thing that W Series does really well, and, you know, apart from the fantastic thing they've given us free racing, getting us back in seats, you know, the track time and being on F1 support is huge for all of us, and every single one of us is thankful. But the prize money as well, you know, I think prize money can be increased for potentially other championships to help those younger drivers, like in Freca, say F3, to then maybe move on to step up to the next step of that ladder, you know. Certainly, for example, for Abby, she will hopefully be doing F3 in the, not next year, maybe the year after. And of course, she's going to use her prize money to make that jump to step up. You know, that's already, we've already sort of planned that out, and that's sort of on her roadmap. So I think that can really help some of the younger drivers in those sort of categories move on to the next level. Because, you know, it's not cheap fun to move up the ladder. It's a lot of money.
Abby, do you have anything to add on to that? Because I know that there's a thing that I want to say, and then you can jump on the answer to the question nobody asked me to answer. But everyone seems to have this thing that Jamie Chadwick's like money grabbing because he's taking this money, like with some idea that really winds me up, that the money that she's won from it, she gets every single penny because she has expenses herself that need to go with other things she does. But also how prohibitively expensive these seats are, that I do feel that some people think, oh, it's $500,000, you'll get like a top seat at one of these teams with that, not having any idea the level of finance required for an F3 seat. I know I've kind of stolen the answer there, but W Series means that you have that ability to race without that financial requirement, and I feel people really overlook that. So is that just one of the big advantages from you, who has been so severely impacted by finances before, that's helped?
Yeah, massively. I mean, I'm, you know, me and my family don't have, you know, we have enough money to go racing at you know, F4 kind of level. You know, it's been, yeah, huge to kind of keep my career going, and you know, with in my F4 campaign, I did limited testing and things like that. So yeah, it's trying to just keep going and spend as little as possible. And yeah, it's been huge on keeping the progression going and hopefully helping furthering everything. But yeah, like you say, it's so expensive. Once you, you know, get F4, then you triple the price to go to F3, then you double that to go to F2. It comes a lot of money. So yeah, it's finding the money somehow, and W Series helps do that, you know, if you get a good result and perform well. So hopefully that'll happen.
A bit of shop window stuff to make yourself more attractive to sponsors because you become a known name. That's the thing that I think people overlook sometimes. That, I mean, that was serious. And we've got another serious question as well from Daniela R. Clark via Instagram. Because of the severity of it, I think I'll have to have you go first as well, Abby. If you were a potato, what type would you be? Mashed, roasted. I've got specific things here, guys. You need to take this seriously. You've got mashed, roasted, smiley faces, new potatoes, gaffets, etc.
I would be a sweet potato.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Just
that's the perfect answer.
A sweet potato,
just one massive raw sweet potato.
Not raw. Not raw.
Why would it be raw?
No, but like, so I didn't realize that you meant in what I would be a jacketed sweet potato, or like sweet potato fries, something like that. Yeah, sweet potato fries, kind of a bit crazy. So yeah.
A bit crazy. What's crazy about sweet potato fries?
I don't know, they're just nothing. Like all over the place, aren't they?
No. They're delicious, but yeah, if you think they're crazy.
Have to be sweet potato. That is like the only potato.
To be fair, no, I do like sweet potato, but I also like a good roast potato. I've never had sweet potato roast. Is that even a thing?
Yeah, they're really nice. Roasted sweet potatoes are well nice.
But I also do like a good smiley face.
Oh, that is
that is really hard. It's just such a hard question.
It's for them all.
I'm going to go for good roast, nice roast potato.
Not sweet.
Well, I haven't had it.
Sweet enough, is that what it is?
Sweet enough, yeah.
That's where I thought you were going with that to start with, actually, Abby, that you were saying, oh, I'm a sweet potato because I'm so sweet. And then you started going into the, no, I'm crazy.
No, a sweet potato because they're sweet, also because they're a little bit crazy.
Okay, so a sweet potato and a roast potato. Yeah, there we go. You've got the next one.
Have you noted that down? It's important. This is the headline of the podcast.
This is a 2,000-word article you read. I'm sure you're writing it already.
Me as a roast potato and you as a sweet potato.
Yeah, we need to get an artist in who can draw these two as potatoes.
She's an artist. She can do it. There you go.
I'll love to see it. I'd love to see it.
Now she's shaking her head like, would you stop going on? I can find them the picture now on my phone that she drew of my birthday last year.
Well, the next question. No, I was going to say the next question is for Abby, which Jeroen's going to take up. So, Alice, please do that.
Please find the picture, yes. Alice just mentioned this a little bit already, Abby, but the question from Aislan Pacheco via Twitter, he's asking, are you already negotiating with any F3 teams for next season? But Alice just mentioned also that you have a bit of a long-term plan of where you want to be the next year. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
So like you say, that there's been a plan kind of set in place and the trajectory that I want to go in the next few years. There's nothing, I don't know what I'm allowed to say really, but there's nothing, you know, set in stone. There's nothing properly, negotiated yet. I don't know what else to say other than that, really.
To say negotiated yet, so I'm suggesting that you are actively seeking these seats, so.
Yeah, of course, we're looking at opportunities and availabilities and things like that, but again it comes at a cost, so it's going where we feel is right and at the right time, so it's just a patient kind of waiting game, I think.
How does the Alpine Academy help you with that search, with the the weighing of options?
They know all the teams, of course, through they've got Kyron Victor at the moment in F3, and they've had people in the past in F3 as well. So they've been around, and they know all the different teams and how they work, and they will hopefully put me in where they think I'll work best and where they think the team will work best with me.
Exciting times. Now, there's a question I need to go into first, but I've got a question here from Wes Mansbridge, but the big one that everyone wants to know, Alice, did you find the photo? Which is excellent for people listening to the podcast.
Can you see it?
Look at that.
That's good. Oh, that's really good. Describe it. It's like a pencil drawn.
Of Alice and Alice, her car. Yeah,
yeah, celebrating with the car. And it's really good.
It's really, really good.
Imagine her dreams. You see me winning.
I'm burning hell. I'm going to burn it now.
Well, that's confirmed then, that we're going to have a potato line drawing coming up soon.
Into a potato.
Oh, that's great. No, that's really good, Abby. I'm really impressed. When you were starting to shake your head, I was like, oh, well, she's going to be embarrassed by this. That's a really good picture. So Alice is championing you there. The next question's for Alice, though, from Wes Mansbridge. And the question was, what made you want to take up commentary / punditry, which you have a real talent for, by the way?
Oh, thank you very much.
Talks too much, that's why.
Yeah, talk too much. It's actually, so my mum would say that I'm born sort of doing the sort of commentary, punditry side. because I used to run it. I actually do vaguely remember this, so it's got to be true because I so vaguely remember it. But I used to have a little red suit, and the spine muscle was probably when I was about six. I don't know why I'm looking at you as if you'll remember, six or seven. You weren't even born then. And a little sort of red hat and my little bike, and I'd ride around my garden. I was Michael Schumacher, of course. And I would, of course, win the race, you know, goes without saying. But I'd be doing the commentary of my own race, pretending I was Murray Walker doing the commentary. My mum says that she needs to find the tapes because she's filmed it at some point.
I can fully back this up as well because I've seen the photo. I can't remember where the photo is. I think it's on like Facebook or something. And it's your old back garden and it's just got like a place like where you've been like constantly and it's gone like the
grass. My track is an oval, so because it wasn't a very big garden. No, I just, obviously it stems from that, you know, being in the garden, but I just enjoyed it. Had the opportunity to do it a long time ago. I did some stuff, sort of UK low level stuff, sort of probably back in 2011, 2012. And then it sort of started to go a bit quiet, and then it picked up again when I did, you know, some of the stuff for F1 TV and F3 and F2, and then obviously was on with Channel 4. So yeah, I really enjoy it. It's something totally different. The commentary side and everything, it's so hard, you know. People give, you see the comments on social media of people saying, why is this person doing this commentary, they're rubbish, blah blah blah, all these typical Twitter comments. But actually, you know, when you're commentating there on a live race on a live feed, it's actually really hard. So I've had, working with Alex Jakes, he's been absolutely incredible, you know, helping me with stuff. So I love commentating alongside Alex, and yeah, it's something that I enjoy, and hopefully it can carry on for the future. Next year, obviously, I'll be at Zandvoort with Channel 4 as well.
Yeah, great. I tell you what, as well, you do come across like a natural in it, and I've done some commentary. I've explained in the podcast before, and it's bloody difficult. People need to give. Well, this I know who you're referring to about the Twitter comments.
Doing my first, I think it was F2, and they said, "Oh, you're just commentating for F2," and I thought, "Oh, well, it's just, you know, you can't get F1 TV in the UK," so I knew what F1 TV was, but I thought, "Oh, it's just going to be for F1 TV," and then Jakes, he was like, "No, it's the world feed," and I'm like, "What?" I remember absolutely like bricking it there with a little microphone, like, "Oh no!" But you know, he's, as I said, commentating with such a great lead commentator as well. They make it sort of so much better for sort of bringing you in and helping with the commentary. And yeah, once you start to do it and you do it more, it's like anything, you sort of get used to it. And you know, you have different roles, and obviously my role is there to just sort of give sort of driving advice and anything else that I may spot.
You do a good job as well, don't you? Jeroen, I think you've got the next bit.
Yeah, well, this is, in a way, we've sort of addressed this bit a little bit around the track time in W Series, and whether Abby, you need to move to another series in order to get more track time. So this is a question from Pop Pop on Discord. But I think actually what I would like to ask is, to what extent do you guys as drivers have influence with the W Series organization to sort of try and, you know, ask them like, hey, can we get some more track time? Is there any option? Is there any possibility? Are you being sort of heard in those discussions as drivers?
Well, I think we both sort of said about the track time, and Abby's obviously looked at me to go, can you answer this? the staff, like we all just get on with all the staff at W Series. They work exceptionally hard. They're a great bunch of people, and yeah, they understand, you know, they're fully aware of the track time. But obviously the big thing it comes down to is money, you know. Money, it doesn't grow on trees. I mean, I'd love, maybe I should just try planting a pound or something and see what happens. It would be great if it did, but it doesn't. They have fantastic sponsors on board, but you know, at the same time, they're also limited with what Formula One can give them as well. You know, it's at Silverstone, for example, there was F2, F3, us, and Porsche, and Formula One.
Mm.
You know, that's quite a lot to sort of fit in with.
It's a lot to cover as well, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But no, so they're aware. But you know, we're on the F1 support bill, and we've got a fantastic sort of group of sponsors as well that are really part of the championship, as well as a great group of people.
Yeah, but we get this question quite a lot, so I think this is very relevant and very very good background for people to hear.
They definitely aware. They know how it works. They understand. Mm. But you know, it's not quite simple when they're funding 18 cars to go, do you know what? Mm. Let's just go to F1 and say, let's stick on an extra 30-minute practice session.
Yeah.
But if you look, F3, they only have 45 minutes, so do F2. Yeah. But I think that sort of comes with being part of Formula One. You know, it's not like Breca where it's with something a little not Formula One, so you have more room to negotiate, and they can add a lot more sessions.
Jim?
Yeah, that's a great answer, because I do think people overlook. I know you've got two races with Formula 2 and Formula 3, but they have similar in terms of practice time and everything as well. It's all the same. But there's another question which we had, I don't know, 5 or 6 different versions of the same question, which all boiled down to this one that Tom Evans Photos via Discord has asked. Basically saying that W Series has come across, and you said this at the start, has come across a lot of criticism, especially recently, for not progressing drivers, with current championship leader being the highlight of that. What are your thoughts on this, is what they ask. I know you've kind of covered it already, but just broadly, what are your thoughts on the lack of progress that we've seen thus far in W Series?
Yeah, I don't think the championship are against progression or anything. You know, like I said, you know, the plan for me is to go forward, and I'm pretty sure that W Series are aware of that. I think that it's just, I don't even know really. I think that the younger drivers are kind of like me, limited budget wise to move forward and up the ranks. And the likes of Ellis and Emma and Beitzke, where they would probably, you know, because they're a bit older, they'd progress into probably LMP stuff, you know, WEC, things like that. It's hard to find a drive there. So and you know, expensive the same. So it's just trying to find the right place to progress to, really. It's not easy.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's, you know, I already said earlier on that, you know, how I felt, I think maybe Jamie should have moved up, and people say, well, she's won this prize money, but I don't know where, I'm not saying this is where it could, but, you know, she's got management company, she's got, maybe had investors in the past, you know, when people go into sort of contracts, it can be that, I'm sure maybe some of the F1 drivers sort of contracts as well, where you have to give sort of sensitive things to management contracts and investors that might have helped you in your career. So might not be that she's you know, kept all the prize money and not been able to afford to move on. Maybe she's had to put it out to that. I'm not saying that's what's happened, but you know, I think people often forget that, oh yeah, everyone just thinks, oh, you can keep it for yourself, but you know, at the same time, you've then got to put it, you know, potentially you don't at the moment have anything sort of like that, so Abby would be able to then put all her funding and whatever she wins into, no, that was genuine, like whatever you have into F3 and progress. And you know, F3 drives are still super expensive. You're looking at anything between sort of €600,000 to €1 million. So yeah, that's still a lot to find.
Yeah, I'm asked a question on behalf of people, and I also want to answer it just from perspective. I think some people overlook the fact that people have progressed, and it's not the way that people are expecting. People are expecting the next Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen, and any male young driver has got a very slim chance of that happening. But I think we're speaking to two people who are the living embodiments of it. Both of you, I don't think, would be working with Alpine if it wasn't for the W Series things. Naomi Schiff has got television work. We've got Jess Hawkins doing things with Aston Martin, and I do feel that it is progressing drivers in a different way from what people expect. So whether or not people, and like you said about the Twitter brigade, if people go onto this and start criticizing it, to put it nicely, I think they are really missing the bigger picture, because as I explained to you in a chat before we were having the podcast on WhatsApp. It's about, there might be a five-year-old looking at this podcast or watching you two race, and they could be the first female driver who wins the world championship, inspired by Abby Pullinger or Alice Powell. And that's why it's important. I do think people need to remember that. But Jeroen, please finish us off with a final question before we run out of time. A big serious one, if you could.
Yeah, I think it's also, to be honest, I'm a little bit, I think he did this on purpose, that he gave this question to me, seeing as I don't have any hair. Because Dan, he simply called Dan, exclamation mark, and he asks, Abby, what is it like having the best hair in motorsport?
I think Vicky Piria had the best hair. I used to always tell it last year, like when I would go to the tracks, I'd be like, Vicky, how is your hair always perfect every time you're anywhere? Like, she takes her helmet off and she's like this, and her hair is I take my helmet off after Hungary, my hair's like this because it's so humid and it just goes all fluffy. So thank you very much. I don't agree with it.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm flustered now.
But the thing is, Jerome just wears his hair on his face.
Exactly. It just fell down here, sort of, in my case. Yeah, it just sank down. Yeah.
It's almost like a catchphrase at this point. I'm sure that was brought up last time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
May I just ask as well, Dan, what are you thinking? We've got Brittany, we've got Nico Rosberg with his gorgeous blonde locks, as Mark Webber
and Antonio Giovinazzi, Italian Jesus. I mean, he's back again.
We'll see what happens with that. But I've listened to Beyond the Grid, big inspiration for podcasts with Giovinazzi, and him talking about his hair routine was like a 10-minute section of the podcast. It was like a two-hour journey of Antonio Giovinazzi's hair. So, Dan, if you want to know about some hair tips from motorsport, listen to that Antonio Giovinazzi Beyond the Grid podcast. But in the meantime, round of applause to Vicky Piria for her tremendous hair from Abby Pulling.
I'm sure Antonio recently cut all his hair off, didn't he?
Not all of it. I think he shortened it.
He shortened it. Yeah, definitely.
Like a third of the length.
I can't say I've looked at pictures of him recently.
You haven't kept up, have you?
The headline. Antonio cut his hair. That was like the headline.
Of course, someone would have made it. That was probably on Twitter, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah.
All right, that's all the time we have this week. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. If you'd like to have your question asked on a future episode, use the hashtag AskF1FS on Twitter. Drop any questions below if you're watching on YouTube, or let us know what questions you have on your mind on our Discord. Look for the podcast questions channel. If you are watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment, and subscribing to the channel all really helps us out. And if you are listening, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're using is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out f1feederseries.com for more feeder series insights, including the Americas work from Jeroen, and follow F1 Feeder Series 1, F1 FS Americas, and F1 FS Live on Twitter. You can find the links to all of those, plus the Twitter accounts for myself and everyone else on the podcast, in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, we have been the F1 Feeder Series podcast. Goodbye.